Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and each week I have a coffee chat with a veteran about what they do in their civilian career, how they got there, and advice they'd give to other veterans wanting to pursue a similar career. Today is episode number 141 with Eric Stites.
Owning a business is probably the hardest thing you'll ever do. Hopefully, at the end of the day, you know, if you follow the franchise system and you're successful and you put in that, you know, hard work for a number of years, it gets easier, and ultimately you're building equity in this business that will be worth something, which certainly you don't get as part of a job or part of the military. That's an interesting thought. If the military only offered equity, and that'd be interesting.
Well, I've got four reasons for you to listen to today's episode. First of all, franchises. We continue the deep dive I've been doing into a career as a franchise owner, why this may be appealing to veterans, and how to succeed at it. And Eric is the CEO of the Franchise Business Review. He's also served on a Vet Fran committee specifically about veterans owning franchises, so he's a wealth of knowledge on this topic. But for those of you who are not interested in franchises, I've got three other reasons for you. First of all, honesty in your career selection. Eric talks about how vital it is in franchising, as well as any career, to be exceptionally honest and reflective about your individual strengths and weaknesses and the cultural fit of whatever organization you join. Third, we talk about long-term investment. It starts off with Eric talking about viewing a franchise as a 5 to 15 year investment, which I'm realizing as he says that is an asset of veterans. Most veterans approach the military as a long-term career, as a long-term time investment, much more so than many civilians that I know. And so I think that that's an asset if you can approach a franchise or whatever your career is as building a skill set as an asset. So he talks about doing your homework, and I think that this applies to every job, not just figuring out that cultural fit, but he talks a lot about technology and really evaluating an industry and a particular company as, is this going to be uprooted by technology? And then lastly, we talk about market research as an industry. That's Eric's career. It's the first one we had on the show. And he talks briefly about what it's like to be in that industry of market research, how he got there, and some insights on what that sort of career is like. This is a very resource-rich episode. So if you have a chance, check out beyondtheuniform.io. Check out the show notes. You'll find links to about 2 to 3 dozen different books, websites, resources, papers that will help you in your career. And last plug, if you have not signed up for our newsletter, the email newsletter goes out every 2 weeks talking about some behind-the-scenes things at Beyond the Uniform and covering some resources that may be helpful to you. So make sure you sign up for that resource. Stick around after the episode. We'll do a little bit of a debrief. I'll share with you some of my takeaways from the episode. I welcome your thoughts in the comments section of the show notes as well. And with that, let's dive in to my conversation with Eric Stites. Joining me today in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, is Eric Stites. Eric, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
So I wanted to give special thanks to John Francis from episode 129. John was kind enough to introduce me to Eric. And I also wanted to give a plug, because we're going to be talking today about franchises. If you haven't listened to episode 129 with John Francis, definitely check that out. That's a good chaser for this episode, as well as episode 132 with Marlon Terrell, who is a Navy veteran who opened a Chick-fil-A franchise. So between the three of these interviews, it should give you listeners a great view about franchises and how that fits in with your skills as a veteran. I wanted to give a quick background on Eric. He is the CEO of the Franchise Business Review, which is a national franchise information firm that identifies the top franchise opportunities in the marketplace today based exclusively on ratings and reviews from franchisees, which are the real franchise experts. Eric served in the Navy as a first-class petty officer. He was the founder and president of Yaz.com and was the director of corporate development at Franchise Solutions. in this capacity, in his capacity as CEO of Franchise Business Review, he also has served on the VetFran committee to help veterans interested in franchises. So, Eric, maybe to start things off, how would you describe the work that you do with Franchise Business Review to someone who's on active duty?
Sure. To put it kind of simply, is we're essentially the consumer report of the franchise world. So we reach out to thousands of franchisees every year and survey them on their satisfaction with their franchise that they've invested in. So there's lots of different information about franchising out there. Hundreds of different websites, Entrepreneur Magazine, you name it, and lots of them do different rankings of franchise companies. Our rankings and reviews are based exclusively on the franchisee satisfaction and how well they're doing in the business. And that's really a critical component. We're really the only ones in the franchise sector that do this to the level that we are doing it. And like I said, we talk to thousands of franchisees every year across hundreds of different brands. And specifically for today's call, one of the questions that we ask as part of our survey is, are you a veteran? So we are able to identify who the veterans are within any particular franchise brand. Just to kind of expand on that a little bit, a lot of people thinking about veterans going into franchising, a lot of those people are people that are just coming out of the military and transitioning right into franchise ownership. But the vast majority of veterans that are in franchising today are people that served, years ago and transitioned out and may have worked in the, quote unquote, real world for a number of years before deciding that they wanted to own their own business. So, some people do transition directly from the military into business ownership with a franchise, and many more transition several years down the road after they've gotten some corporate world experience.
Do you have a sense for that? Because I think that's really interesting that a lot of these veterans have experience prior to opening a franchise. Do you have a sense for what, kind of what that pie chart looks like, or the types of things that they're doing prior to a franchise, or put a different way, if someone was thinking of gaining experience prior to opening a franchise, what types of companies or jobs or roles would you recommend they think about?
Yeah, it's a great question. We find that most of the people that get into franchising and franchising tends to be, an older person's sport, if you will. Most of the people that come into franchising are in the middle of their careers. You do get some people that are coming out of college or young veterans that are coming out of the military after a few years of serving and buy franchises. But the vast majority of people are, the average franchisee is, 45 to 50 years old and has worked in corporate America for at least a few years if they served in the military. And it really varies. Their experience is all over the map. And that's the great part about franchising, is you don't necessarily have to have specific experience in whatever it is that the business does. Franchise companies actually prefer candidates that don't have a lot of experience in their particular field, because they want to be able to train them and teach them their way of doing the business. Now, that being said, it's definitely very valuable for any franchise owner or business owner to have some basic understanding of small business and finance and that sort of thing. So those are skills, obviously, that you might pick up working in corporate America, but you can certainly pick those skills up too by, going to your local SCORE office or, going to a local community college and taking some basic business classes. And it's shocking to me how many people own businesses and franchises that really don't have a good grasp of, kind of those financial basics of how small business works. And And certainly the most successful franchisees are, you know, they have a very good grasp of kind of the financial side of the business.
Is that, do you think that, you know, if most people are 45 to 50 when they start a franchise, is that, you know, some ideas that come to mind, is that like, is that about building up the capital they need to invest and it takes that amount of time? Is it about getting fed up with the corporate world and gaining the courage to strike off on their own? Is it about gaining, you know, knowledge so that they, you know, can feel confident jumping off? What leads to that being the sweet spot of people taking the plunge into franchises?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, I'm going to sound like an attorney a lot today, and I'm going to say, well, it really depends. But, you know, it does vary all over the map. I mean, you know, certainly from an investment standpoint, you know, having a few years of working in the corporate world and saving up, you know, for owning your own business can be one path. But there's many franchise opportunities out there that don't require a whole lot of capital. I mean, certainly they require some capital, and you know, and what that amount is can vary from as low as, you know, $5,000 or $10,000 to as high as, you know, several hundred thousand dollars. And certainly when you're talking about the higher end of that scale, I mean, for most people, you know, that people that have been in the corporate world for a while, you know, having that kind of nest egg is pretty, you know, rare. So, you know, I think that's where a lot of people, you know, don't even look at franchising as an option, especially those coming out of the military. They're like, oh, you know, I can't, you know, I don't have that kind of money. I can't afford a business. And when they start looking, they are surprised, I think, a lot of times to find that there are, you know, a number of very affordable options out there. Like I said, I mean, some companies require an investment of, you know, $5,000 or $10,000 initially. There's lots of financing, certainly that's an option. And, you know, and buying a business is very much like buying a house. And again, when you look at a franchise company, the total investment might be, you know, $150,000 or $200,000 or $250,000. I mean, and that's kind of the sweet spot of the franchise world is, you know, the average investment is a couple hundred thousand dollars in many cases, but a lot of that money is financed, so or financeable. So they're only looking for you to put down, you know, $20,000-$25,000 or 25% of that as an initial investment. And you know, if you're a veteran, many of these companies offer discounts on that too. So they'll discount the franchise fee. They may have special incentive financing programs either themselves or through a third party. So again, don't be discouraged and think, you know, oh, I can't afford, there's no way I can afford to buy a business, because there's lots of great opportunities out there. And if you're a qualified, highly skilled person that's a good fit for that business model, that franchise company is going to find a way to get you the capital you need. And again, there's lots of opportunities out there that, you know, for example, you know, we've got a couple of companies on our top list for veterans, Cruise One and Cruise Planners, obviously in the cruise planning business, travel business. I mean, you can get in to both of those concepts for under $10,000. So, and with the discounts, even less than that. So again, franchising is a great option for people, even if they don't have a huge amount of capital to invest.
I love, you know, I'm thinking back to my conversation in episode 132 with Marlon Terrell, and he talked about when he was thinking of opening a Chick-fil-A franchise, how he, you know, spent time talking to FedEx and UPS and all sorts of other franchise owners to get a sense of how much they liked it and if he would like that sort of path. And it seems like what the Franchise Business Review is just doing that at scale. You're talking to every type of franchise owner and getting a sense for how much they like that franchise, which sounds like an incredible resource for someone thinking of investing in a franchise because you're getting straight from the horse's mouth a sense of which franchise people like and enjoy and are supported in and you know, helped grow. And that seems like it would make a big difference in narrowing down what type of franchise to purchase.
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, certainly I'm biased because I started the company. But, you know, the reason I started the company 13 years ago was really exactly that. I had been in the franchise world for about 7 years. And I was working for a marketing company that helped franchise companies market and recruit new franchise owners. And, I knew who was spending, you know, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars to recruit new candidates. But I had no idea, no sense of, you know, is this really a good company or not? And I started just doing research on my own with some of the clients that I was working with. And I started seeing some things that, you know, I didn't really like, you know, high turnover, for instance. They churned through a number of franchisees. I'm like, you know, anybody that wants to know what's really going on in a franchise system, all you need to do is pick up the phone or go visit a couple of franchisee locations and ask them. I mean, you know, that's the beauty of the franchise world is that any franchise owner out there today, you know, they were in your shoes. If you're thinking about investing in a franchise, they were in your shoes 5, 10, 15 years ago, and they wish they had that kind of feedback and information before they made an investment. So, you know, being able to look and see what franchisees, I mean, I tell people all the time, you know, nobody buys anything today without looking at peer reviews. I mean, whether it's Amazon and you're looking at books, you know, washing machines, cars, whatever. I mean, you know, we've become an information society and being able to look at peer reviews is obviously critical in making that decision. And again, not that a franchise company may be a bad company, but it just, you know, understanding what the franchisees are saying and what their experience has been really can help you understand if it's a good fit for you. Because there's a lot of great franchise businesses out there, but they're probably not a great fit for you specifically. So it's really understanding, you know, the culture of the franchise community, you know, what the skill sets are required to really make, to really be successful in that franchise company. And that's something I talk to franchisee candidates about all the time, whether they're veterans or non-veterans, is that, you know, really dig into the business and understand, you know, what are the skill sets that make that franchise owner successful. Because often it's very different than what the business may look like on the surface. For instance, you know, I mentioned Cruise One and Cruise Planners. I mean, you know, obviously the cruise business sounds glamorous, you know, and all that, and it is. But, you know, the skill set that makes their franchisees the most successful is really sales and marketing skills. And their franchisees, it's a home-based business, so they're on the phone talking with people about, you know, taking vacations and planning vacations and all that every day. And, you know, that's great, but if you're not, you know, a good, you know, strong sales marketing person and you don't want to sit on the phone all day and talk to people about taking a cruise, well, then that business probably isn't the right fit for you. And, you know, a lot of people, I think of veterans, you know, generally and say, oh, you know, they tend to be, you know, good at the service businesses or, you know, things like that. And, you know, again, you can't generalize. I mean, every veteran, just like every person on the planet, is different and has different skill sets. And so, sure, we have a lot of veterans that are in the service industry. So, you know, companies like Snap-on Tools or Budget Blinds that does window treatments, those companies have a large amount of veteran franchise owners. Fast Signs, which is a sign company, obviously. Sport Clips that does hair cutting. I mean, they have a lot of veterans and their CEO is a veteran and they do a lot to attract veterans. So again, it's really understanding, you know, what, you know, when you look at a business, that when you, you know, everybody finds certain things appealing one way or another, but understanding what the skill sets are of their most successful franchisees, and you know, do you have the skills to do that? And you know, and really be honest with yourself, because I know a lot of people will be like, well, you know, I'm not great at sales, but you know, I can learn that. Well, you know, if you're not great at sales, you're probably, you know, learning it is probably going to be challenging. If you're not an outgoing and kind of extroverted personality, you know, sales is probably not your forte, and you should look at things that, you know, maybe don't require good sales skills. So it's really doing that self-assessment and then talking to lots of franchisees about what, you know, what they've done in their business to be successful.
This is, I'm not sure if you'll have an answer for this, but I mean, I really agree with what you're saying. I think I'm realizing more and more how much honesty matters, of just really taking a deep look and saying, like, what am I good at? What am I not good at? And not fooling yourself and not trying to become something you're not. One thing I realize is that, you know, for many veterans, especially those coming from active duty, they might not know what sales is or what marketing is. And so I'm wondering if you've seen any way, apart from actually just trying something, that an active duty listener might get a sense of, you know, do they like sales? Because the reason I say that, especially with sales, is that most people on active duty I speak with have an aversion to sales, and they associate it with kind of like a used car salesman, which, you know, in my experience with sales and salespeople, that's not it at all. That's like one tiny fraction. That's like saying, I don't like entrepreneurship because I don't want to own a hot dog stand. And it's like, okay, well, that's one very, very right. tiny sliver of it. So have you found any ways that people can get a taste for these different functional areas and get a sense for, like, hey, this is where I have a strength, or maybe this is a weakness?
Well, you know, what I tell people all the time is, I mean, first of all, when you're buying a business, buying a franchise, or, you know, really it's technically investing in a franchise, because you're licensing the business, you don't own it. You own the physical asset, but you're licensing it from the franchisor. You know, first and foremost, take your time. Talk to a lot of people that are franchise owners. Educate yourself. As I said, do a kind of deep self-assessment as to what, you know, what are your skill sets, what are your challenge areas, and there are many businesses. So I'm going to kind of, I guess, go back a little bit on what I just said as far as, like, you know, if you're not good at sales, don't buy a franchise that requires sales. I mean, you just need to understand what those components are and where you'll fit as the business owner into that business, and then obviously you'll need to hire for the skill set that you're, you know, missing. So for instance, there are businesses like we have a number of tax related and accounting service franchise companies that we deal with, and there's people that get into those that are great at sales, and that's the role they do, and they're out selling the service, and they have people in the back office that are doing the taxes. And then there's other franchise owners that are, you know, they prefer more to be in the office and manage the operations and hire a salesperson to go out and do the sales. But again, that, you know, understanding that role and those needs within the business, and that also obviously complicates your investment as well. So, you know, if you do need to hire somebody out of the gate to do some skill that you're maybe not in your wheelhouse, that's going to increase your obvious costs and require a much larger investment on the front end. You know, most people, I think, get into franchising, especially when you're trying to keep, you know, your costs limited, as an owner operator, where they're, you know, at least day one, they're the ones, you know, providing the service, and then kind of grow from there. But again, there's all sorts of different opportunities for people at all different investment levels. But, you know, really understanding those skills, your skills, and the franchisor is going to train you in their certain things. And you know, I love the your point about used car salesman, because we all, when you think about sales, we all have that vision of, oh my God, you know, and, you know, in franchising, there's some businesses that are, very sales driven, but the vast majority of franchise companies, I mean, the reason you're buying a franchise brand, an established franchise brand, at least, is, you know, it's got this known brand out there. So a lot of times, when we talk about sales, it's not so much, you know, cold calling, or, you know, walking onto a used car lot, so to speak. It's, you know, it's more customer service sales and, you know, and understanding how to provide good customer service and maybe looking for upsell opportunities if you're in, say, the window cleaning business and providing, you know, window cleaning services, and maybe you notice that their gutters need to be cleaned too, and, you know, things like that. So it's really much more about customer service and kind of, you know, being able to read people. And then, you know, but again, there's other businesses where, you know, they're very more, I guess, product driven. And, you know, and you think of like the McDonald's of the world, or, I mean, obviously franchising is famous for food brands, where you open a location and business just comes naturally because people are demanding whatever the product or the service is. So again, depending on how well established that company's brand is and what your local market competition looks like, I mean, you may have a business that, you know, you're not doing a lot of sales and marketing. It's the business is coming to you. So it really depends.
And you mentioned, you know, I'll put these in the show notes, but you mentioned a couple companies, Cruise One and Cruise Planners, Snap-on Tools, Budget Blinds, Fast Sign, Sports Clips, that are kind of popular with veterans. What is it about these businesses? Is it the culture? Is it the skill set? Like, why do you think that these companies are attracting more veterans?
Yeah, I mean, it varies. But I mean, a lot of it does come down to culture. You know, and one of the things that I always tell people that are looking to invest into a franchise is really, you know, do that when you're doing your research. Really figure out what the culture of the company is, because every company has a different culture. Some are, you know, as part of my role, I go to a lot of franchise conventions. Most franchise companies have annual conventions with their franchisees, and I'll walk into one convention, and it's like a, you know, high school reunion family, you know, I mean, it's like a big party, you know, all the franchisees are, you know, drinking and having fun and exchanging, you know, war stories from the year. And then I'll walk into other conventions and it's, you know, very corporate feeling. You know, not that they're not sharing information and talking to each other, but, you know, just much more, you know, kind of business oriented. So, you know, it's important to understand, you know, what type of climate culture are you looking for? And, you know, when you're talking to different companies and exploring different opportunities, you know, I always tell people, go, you know, if you can, go visit their convention, or at least go visit, you know, a regional meeting where franchisees are getting together, because, you know, that is the biggest asset as a franchise owner that you have, is your other franchisees. I mean, that's the biggest advantage that franchising, you know, people talk about the brand and the proven model and all that. You know, the reality is that you are part of a network of dozens, if not hundreds, of other franchise owners that are doing the exact same thing that you're doing. So at any given time, if I own a pizza franchise, you know, I can pick up the phone and I can call anybody else in my franchise community and say, you know, what are you doing about this? What are you doing about that? What are you doing about that? And, you know, that's the advantage that franchise businesses have over, you know, the mom and pop pizza shop on the corner that has all the same issues, but has nobody to call to, you know, kind of pick their brains on. And so you want, you know, you want a culture of sharing and close knit community. And I think veterans, especially, you know, that's the kind of environment that they're looking for. I mean, as a veteran myself, I mean, you know, there's that unique thing about veterans, and I think being very close-knit, people-oriented, team-oriented, obviously is important. And so, not every franchise company has that, and some definitely do. So that's something that you want to look at and understand, and really look at the veterans, particularly in a system. So, some franchise systems have very few veterans within their system. Others have a lot more. I mean, some of that is just related to the type of service that it is. For instance, one of the companies that we work with is a company called Signal 88. They offer security services, and I think about 40% of their franchise owners are veterans. More commonly, most franchise companies kind of follow the trends of the general population, where about 10, maybe 12% of their overall franchise network are veterans, and some are much, much less. I mean, some are, 2-3%. So it really depends. And just because one system doesn't necessarily have a lot of veterans in it isn't necessarily a red flag, but just understanding, what that franchisee community and culture is like, and is it, a good fit for you? I mean, again, this is all about, fit for you, because there's hundreds of different businesses out there that you can invest in, and finding the one that's the right fit, that's going to get you excited to get up every day. Because, owning a business, I can tell you, I own a business, it's a lot of work. I think a lot of people have this, misperception about business ownership. They're like, I don't want a job. I want a business that I can own and sit back and, play golf 2 days a week and whatever it is. Owning a business is probably the hardest thing you'll ever do. Hopefully at the end of the day, if you follow the franchise system and you're successful and you put in that, hard work for a number of years, it gets easier, and ultimately you're building equity in this business that will be worth something, which certainly you don't get as part of a job or part of the military. That's an interesting thought. If the military only offered equity, and that'd be interesting. it's really about that, that fit and that comfort, and, do a lot of research, talk to a lot of franchisees, and ultimately I think you'll find something that gets you excited.
How might, if someone is interested in this, how might they utilize Franchise Business Review to investigate franchises? And also, is there an efficient way to figure out where veterans are? Like, my mind just goes to LinkedIn, but I'm wondering if there's a better resource to figure out where the veterans are within franchises.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, as I said earlier, a lot of people that are veterans in franchising, veteran-owned businesses, the franchise company doesn't even know that they're a veteran, because they served, years ago. Yeah. And then went into the corporate world. And then when they came into franchising, they didn't necessarily, raise a red flag or check off a box that said, yes, I'm a veteran. So many franchise companies don't even know all the veterans in their system, which that's, using our service, when we survey the franchisees, a lot of companies have used us to help, identify who those veterans are, and they can profile, the skills of those veterans, and again, compare how successful they are compared to their other franchisees, and that helps them figure out, okay, who the ideal candidates are for their system. But as far as our research goes, if you go to our website, which is franchisebusinessreview.com. We do an annual report. We do a whole bunch of reports, but we specifically do an annual report for veterans in franchising. And there's a link to it on our homepage. And so you can download this report that's got the top 100 companies, franchise companies, based on satisfaction ratings by actual veterans. There's a number of different items in there. One of the things that's identified as part of that is also if they're a VetFran member. Justin, as you mentioned earlier, I'm the chairman of the VetFran Committee. And what the VetFran Committee does is it's part of the International Franchise Association. And its mission is really to help veterans both get into franchising for ownership as well as employment opportunities. So we work with hundreds of different franchise companies that are VetFran members, and every VetFran member offers some additional incentive to veterans to own a franchise. So, you know, that may be a discount on fees. It may be a discount. Usually it's a discount on the initial franchise fee. So say the initial franchise fee was $20,000. A lot of franchise companies will discount that by 10, 20, 30%. Some even waive the franchise fee for veterans. So those are, you know, just because they're a VetFran member doesn't mean that they're, you know, the discounts can vary from company to company. So, but that's an important thing to ask. And even if it's a company that you're looking at that's not a VetFran member, they may offer discounts to veterans as well. So, again, I encourage veterans, obviously, to, you know, wear a shirt that says I'm a veteran, and wherever you go, just make it very clear, because there's all sorts of people. That's the most frustrating thing for me serving on the VetFran committee, is that there's so many different organizations that are trying to help veterans through just education and different incentives and discounts and everything else. But a lot of times it's just finding and, you know, identifying who the veterans are that need the services. And I know that, you know, if you're the veteran, you know, and especially when you're coming out of the military, it's just like this fire hose of, you know, you don't know where to turn. I mean, there's so many different organizations out there. So, again, just, you know, whenever you're talking to a franchise company, make it clear that you're a veteran. You know, you can go to our website and download our veterans report. You can go to the VetFran website, which is just vetfran.com. The IFA's website, the International Franchise Association, which is franchise.org, has a lot of great resources on their website as well. So just, you know, again, take your time and do your research. And, you know, and if you have any questions, certainly call or email me, and I can provide Justin with my contact information as well.
This is great. And I'm going to, in the show notes, I'll add a link to VetFran. I'll add the a link to that annual report. That sounds incredible. If I was thinking about a franchise, I would definitely download that report and start looking at what companies work well for veterans. That sounds like an incredible resource. I'm curious, what other resources come to mind that you would recommend to veterans who are interested in buying into a franchise?
Well, you know, I mean, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, I mean, first thing is to educate yourself. And so there's a number of great books out there, Franchising for Dummies, which kind of sounds funny, but there's a Franchising for Dummies book, which goes over the basics of how franchising works. There's another great book called The Educated Franchisee. So, you know, do a lot of reading. Go online and check out the websites that we mentioned, as well as others. Just take your time and don't, you know, one of the problems I think in franchising is every once in a while you do run into that used car salesman that's selling franchises type of personality. And, you know, and it's just the hard sell. You got to buy our franchise, and, you know, you got to buy it today. You know, we've got somebody else that's looking at your territory. You know, don't fall for those kind of hard sell tactics. You know, most people, when they invest in a franchise, have spent a year or more looking and researching and doing a lot of homework on franchise opportunities. So to think that you're going to make a big decision like this in a couple of weeks, I think is very unrealistic. And then look at all the local resources that you have available to you, too. So, again, small business classes at community colleges, the local SCORE SBA office. So there's a lot of retired executives that is a national network of retired executives that will help you kind of understand and explore what your options are in business. So again, franchising is great, but maybe, you know, maybe there's other opportunities, to purchase a non-franchise business or, you know, other opportunities in your area. Talk to local bankers, just to establish, you know, a banking relationship and, you know, understand what their financing options are. Talk to any of the transitioning services. There's lots of different services out there that help transitioning veterans, because there's all sorts of programs. Boots to Business is one that's a great program, and others. So just, you just gotta, you know, there's services out there. There's as I said, there's tons of services out there. But you do have to be kind of a little bit outgoing and aggressive to, you know, really identify where they are and how to get involved. And there's just so much information. And again, like, just take your time and really understand it. And, you know, I mean, the thing that I tell people all the time is go and, you know, volunteer to work at a franchise company if you're not sure, you know, if it's something that you'll like or if you have the skills to do it. You know, or, you know, rather than volunteer, you know, work for the company. You know, a lot of franchise companies, or, you know, franchisees need employees too. So, you know, it may not be your dream job, but if you get a job at a franchise company, it's going to give you kind of that inside look at what the business is all about. So, you know, whether it's a window cleaning business or, a sign business or, you know, a real estate business, you can work for that business as a employee, to really get a good inside look at what it's all about. And so that may give you a lot of inside information as well. And just, you know, talk to everybody that you can. You know, the thing I will caution you a little bit about is, you know, we all kind of have those relatives that, you know, I think about, you know, the dinner table at Thanksgiving or Christmas, you know, around the holidays when you're, you know, talking about what your plans are and, you know, Uncle Joey or, you know, somebody in the family bought a franchise 100 years ago and had a terrible experience. And they're like, oh, you should never buy a franchise and blah, 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 blah. You know, I mean, certainly you want to, you know, listen to their story and understand what, you know, their experience was. But oftentimes a lot of people share stories like that and they're just kind of like urban legends. And, you know, it's really important to talk to actual franchise owners about what their real experience has been.
That's great. And I, you know, one thing that comes to mind when you say all that, because I think you gave an incredible wealth of resources, is I think that a lot of people in the military get used to, or at least I did, and I imagine most do, you kind of get used to the resources coming to you, where, you know, I would be told that I needed to schedule my dental and my health checkup and I needed to go do this training. And so I think we become very reactive and taking in resources. And what you're describing is a very proactive go out, hunt and gather and go out and figure out what you need and tap into these different assets. And it seems like, you know, I'm thinking of the local SCORE SBA office, and I'm thinking, man, there's probably such a wealth of knowledge in these executives there, these retired people who are just waiting for someone to talk to and ways to help someone save hundreds of hours or thousands of hours of their time and really avoid some common pitfalls. But that the veteran has to take that first step. They have to go to that office. They have to go, you know, get one of those books you recommended. They need to download that annual report. And it's a small action, but those small actions will result in massive learning and saving a lot of time and money.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. You know, it is a very proactive process. And I think, you know, franchising as an industry is, again, similar to the military, where they do provide the training that you need for certain situations. And, you know, once you're in a franchise system, it is kind of more like the military, where you're, you know, okay, here's the process, here's the system, here's the training that you do, follow this. And I think that's why veterans do so well in franchising, you know, because of that, you know, they're used to that system. But you know, before you invest in whatever franchise company it is, it is more of a proactive experience to really make sure that you're getting all the resources and information that you need and protecting your own asset. And, you know, it's again, and I've said it, you know, already, but I'll just repeat it is, you know, really take your time to find a company that gets you excited, because again, there's hundreds of opportunities out there. The worst thing you want to do is invest in a franchise company that, you know, a year or two into it, you're just like, this doesn't really do it for me. Like, you know, I mean, you want something that, you know, again, is going to, you know, franchising is a long-term investment. It's not, you know, it's not a get rich quick kind of opportunity. And so, you know, most people that are successful in franchising are in franchising for 5, 10, 15 plus years. So you have to really look at the long term and, you know, is this a business that you can stay excited about? Is this a business that, you know, your skills are a good fit for? Is this a business that, you know, in 5 or 10 years is going to still be here? I mean, that's another whole thing we haven't even talked about is that, you know, the technology is changing so many things. You know, certainly something like haircutting, you know, we're always going to need haircuts. But we've seen, I think, in many places where technology has upended industries overnight. And, you know, so, I mean, that's something you want to look at, too. Is this an industry that's, you know, not just a hot trend for today? Is it going to be here in 5 or 10 years?
Mm. I hadn't thought about that, but that's such a great point. I love this aspect of approaching this as a long-term investment, looking at that 5 to 15 year time frame in terms of building a skill set and really giving this room to grow. But that does make it much more vital than that you pick one that's not going to be upended. And, you know, you're not picking a typewriter business or, you know, I'm trying to think of like some absurd example of something that's just not going to be relevant, is no longer relevant today or definitely won't be relevant in the future. And so I think that's right. A really good point of really trying to take that lens of what will continue to be relevant for the next 20 years because you're entering into this for the long game.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, it's a great case study, especially for veterans, because veterans know more than anybody about, you know, long-term commitments. And, you know, when you, you know, when you signed up for the military, I know this experience was true for me. It's like, you know, I was 18. I you know, had this vision of what I was going to do. And, you know, the reality was quite different, you know, and that's true in franchising too. I mean, often the reality of what you get into is quite different than what you think going in. So again, if you take your time, talk to a lot of people, do that research, you can definitely offset some of those potential missteps that you may take. And just to, you know, kind of go back on that long-term investment thing is when you're doing your assessment of a franchise company, you know, you're looking at that 5 or 10 year window, and that's what you really got to do when you're looking at, you know, okay, I'm going to put X amount of dollars into this business, and over the 10 years, it's going to require, you know, more capital to go into the business to keep it running. You know, at the end of the day, what is that return on investment look like? And compare that to, you know, both other franchise investments that you might make. You know, compare it to a real estate investment that you might make, or putting the money in the stock market, or, you know, also compare that to a job. And, you know, certainly the big difference between owning a business and having a job is at the end of your term with the franchise company, you have this asset that you can then potentially sell. I mean, obviously, as an employee, you don't ever build any equity in a business. So understanding what, you know, what the realistic value of that business is 5 or 10 years out. Are you going to build equity in something that's worth selling to someone? And, you know, and talk to franchise owners about their experience in reselling their businesses and what those businesses were valued at. So it's a lot. I know it's overwhelming, and take it slow, and certainly call me if you have any questions, and I can help walk you through it.
This is great. And I wanted to shift gears just right here at the end real quickly, too. And I realized that you are, I think, the first person I've spoken with where LinkedIn has your industry categorized as market research. And I did want to just kind of give you room to talk about what your day-to-day life is like in the market research industry. And I do that just because if someone is interested in a career just like you have right now, getting that sense of what it's like to be in your shoes for a week.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I had a strange career path. I was in the military. I went to college. I was a plant biology major of all things. And then after college went into, kind of the creative, industry, photography and advertising world for a number of years. And, you know, it really took about 25 years before I kind of stumbled into the franchise world and then ended up, you know, doing research on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, I never planned to be a researcher, so to speak. But it, you know, the more, I mean, I was just fascinated by small business and that's really what drew me into franchising is it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's small business, but it's across hundreds and thousands of different franchise brands in all sorts of different industries. And it was just, you know, really intriguing to me. And, you know, and there's just so much to learn about franchising and the actual performance of franchisees and, you know, how they go about recruiting new franchisees and growing their franchisees and supporting their franchisees. And so it really, it was like a drug for me. I mean, it became addictive and it was just fascinating. And it's a fascinating world. I mean, I love the franchise world. I talk to people all the time and tell them that, you know, franchising offers a lot of great opportunities for the right people if you find the right fit. And, you know, it's an interesting job. So thanks. You know, again, I never thought I'd be a market researcher, but here I am.
This is awesome. Well, I always like to leave the last question a little bit open-ended, which is, you know, you've covered a lot of ground in terms of franchises, about honesty, long-term investment, and really doing your homework before diving into something. Is there anything else that we haven't covered that you'd like to share with active duty or veteran listeners?
Wow, that's a great question. I mean, you know, I'll just repeat myself and just basically tell you to, you know, just talk to as many, you know, do that proactive research and talk to as many people as you can out in the world. Again, whether they own a franchise business or other small business owners, and, you know, and really just understand what they do on a day-to-day basis to be successful. And, you know, and does that appeal to you? And, you know, franchising is great. Business ownership is great, but it's, you know, it's hard work. And, you know, having a job at the end of the day, collecting a paycheck, isn't such a bad thing in many cases either. So, you know, just understand where your strengths are and skill sets are and what your dreams are. And, you know, franchising may be a great opportunity to help, you know, help you realize those dreams. And if not, you know, consider other opportunities. So, and, you know, just keep digging. And, like I said, I mean, there's so many resources out there that are trying to help veterans and, you know, just keep digging in, your local market and talk to as many people as you can and be proud of the fact that you're a veteran and tell people that you're a veteran and hopefully those resources will fall in your lap.
This is great. Well, for listeners, I will include in the show notes all links to all the resources we talked about here, including Franchise Business Review. And Eric, I really appreciate your taking the time to connect with me and the audience and to sharing your story.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
Service.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Wanted to share a couple things that stood out with me just as I reflect on Eric's advice. One of the biggest things that stood out was when he said, "The biggest asset you have as a franchise owner is the other franchisees. You are part of a network of dozens or hundreds of other franchise owners who are doing exactly what you are. You can call them and get advice anytime. This is the advantage that franchises have. I think that's a great advantage when you think about franchises. I also think it's a great perspective to bring with you to whatever career you go into. I just read an article about an SDR, that's a sales development representative. Generally, that's the low man on the totem pole at a sales organization. They're the ones cold emailing, cold calling, getting rejected, and setting up meetings for an account executive or someone more senior in the organization. Well, anyways, this SDR put together a YouTube channel, and he just started putting together content to encourage other SDRs. And through that, he's built up a huge network of lots of sales development representatives, but he's also gotten deals this way because other companies have seen him, seen his chutzpah, and meetings came to him instead of the other way around. So it just makes me think of establishing that network. Wherever you go, plant yourself, get to know other people in the same geographic area, in the same industry, in the same functional area. Borrow that learning. It's a way to get ahead faster. And if you're listening to this episode, this podcast, I'm sure that's something you're thinking about. So just a tidbit I wanted to leave with you. I enjoyed what Eric said about, he said, buying a business is very much like buying a house. He talked about many franchise companies offer discounts for veterans or special financing programs. A takeaway for me for that is just, I think as you think of what career you want to do, take your time. If you're on active duty, props to you for getting a head start, thinking ahead, starting to try and figure out what you want. And another thing you can be doing is saving up money so you don't have to take a job right away. But if you're able to really treat the career process like buying a house, just like you would with a franchise, it gives you the luxury to really make sure that it's the right fit for you, that you know what you want and that it's going to be something you're going to enjoy. And the other part of that is this whole discounts area for veterans. I think for franchises, it sounds like it makes a lot of sense to make sure that you get that discount or promotion. But I think that's something to look at in general. I know it might be strange in different settings asking if they have a veterans discount, but it's worth doing. It can save you some money, and that money can buy you time to figure out what you want to do, or even have that $5,000 to $10,000 or $100,000 plus that Eric talks about using to buy your own franchise. Last one that just kind of stood out to me is, you know, he talks about not falling for the hard sell tactics. And he talked about how most franchise owners take over a year to decide on which franchise to buy. So don't be bullied into people saying, hey, you've got to take this opportunity, you're going to miss out. I think that this applies to franchises. I also think it applies to recruiters and many employment opportunities. And a lot of people use that hard sell tactic because it works. And if they can say, hey, this is an exploding offer, you need to let me know tonight or tomorrow. Or if they pressure you to not speak with your spouse or significant other, you don't want to end up in an organization where you've rushed into that decision. And, you know, an organization doesn't want you making a decision that you're not wholeheartedly behind. So whatever you're looking at, I think that you'll probably encounter some form of the hard sell. And I would encourage you to do your best to avoid being pressured into something out of this false sense of scarcity. That's all for this week. Would love any feedback you have. Definitely sign up for our mailing list. That's how I send out most of the surveys, getting feedback about who else to interview for the show. If you haven't had a chance to leave us a review on iTunes, greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate it. And definitely sign up, pre-register for Veterans in Consulting. I think it will be a worthwhile panel. I'm working hard to make this an incredible event. And would love to see you there, see you by video. And yeah, have a great week. I'll be back next week with more interviews with veterans about their civilian career.